before you start waving around that freedom of speech thing, and you're in a crowded movie theater and you scream fire, you better be able to smell smoke. If you come on this radio show and you start saying inconsiderate things like that, you better have more behind you, pal, than just your thumb. I've been listening to talk radio for years, and one thing I just can't stand is when the host has to, like, push his way on the people, beat the callers into his way of thinking, extending his ego, or when the callers call in and say something so outrageous and the host lets it go unchallenged. The sign you're on the road to truth is the lack of contradiction. You want to find truth, you just don't simply believe somebody because of their authority or their degree, or you listen to what they say, you test it against reality, and you hold their feet to the fire.
We're back and we're live, feet to the fire. I'm your host, James Alta Yanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. And we're back and we're live. Yeah, for those of you who are in our chat room, the official Flash chat, you've already noticed it's been moved. I don't know necessarily all the details behind it, but it could have been somebody being nasty, not playing right with all the other people, but that's been taken care of. And it's up and running. You just have to re-log in again with your password. It's all private. All you need is name and password. That's there for your security so that somebody can't take your name. And if somebody doesn't play good with the other kids in the schoolyard, we can get rid of them. So that's up and running again. Of course, we have iVisit, our video link into the studio. And our phone line, 888-863-2722. It is live. Today we're going to have, the usual This Week in Free Energy with Sterling Allen. In fact, I'm going to see if I can get him a later this hour. He doesn't know this yet. To talk about this acetone project that has been creating quite a buzz. Let's see if I can get him in for a few minutes. And then we'll have, of course, at 8:53 p.m. Central, we'll have this week's Free Energy Report. This week's monthly feature. Remember, every week now we're doing a feature, a rotating feature. This week's is Dr. Rita's Soul Healer Moment, and she'll be talking about hopelessness each week. The third week of the month, she will examine a human emotion and its positive or negative effects on the body, mind, and soul. And we'll offer tips to alter the energy patterns and thus its course, which often ends in chronic illness. So Dr. Rita will be with us a little bit to talk about hopelessness. I asked her if she happened to get her inspiration from for the report from Nothing to Do With the Show, and she said no, so that's good. And this week's guest is going to be Tammy Jo Kennedy, which is an unknown to many people. She is in Oklahoma, a health freedom fighter, and a second-generation nerve signal interference specialist. And so we're going to get to her. Her grandfather taught her some kind of groundbreaking turning ways of chiropractic adjustments, which open up healing paths, and other things. She's got a story or two to tell, and I thought it was important to get the information out. Our website is hooked up to our website, as all our guests, all the information, everything you need to know with the guests are at feet2fire.com, including ways to participate in the show, chat rooms, phone calls, if you're in a car or at work. I don't know if you're working on Sunday night, but yes, phone lines are open. If you can get by a computer, there are more options, chat rooms and videos and all that kind of stuff. This show, every so often I remind people about this. This show is beamed, I almost said bum. I guess the past tense of beam would be bummed. Beamed via satellite around the United States and Canada, and actually around the world. We're talking to Lou Gentile, who's the network wizard. Besides doing his own show, he puts all this technical stuff together. And we've got some inquiries from Scotland about the show, and he said anywhere he wants to get it, they can work something out. So the goal here is to be on regular broadcast radio so that everybody can hear this information, not just you smart people who have found me out. And little by little, we're adding to the catalog. If you'd like to know what station is carrying the show by you, you can send email to IBC or myself here at Feet to Fire. As that's, you know, we can't just say these things out loud. There's all kinds of things. I'm glad all that. God bless Lou. I'm sure the headaches he has to go through with the network. I just get to do the show. But I want to mention to anybody listening to this show, if they're not listening on radio, it is so easy. Get this. The radio station probably has the equipment to pull down the signal. It's just a standard digital audio signal. No special decoders, free to air. In fact, if you wanted to, you could buy a satellite receiver and pull the stuff down from IBC. In fact, if you'd like that, you just get in touch with IBC, and they'll be more than happy to sell you one. Not that much, a couple $100, I think. But if you have a radio station and you do not have the equipment, IBC will not only A, give it to you so that you would run programming, but B, will come in if you aren't able to set it up and set it up for you. And it's a free pull-down. There's no cost here. All you have to do is agree to run the shows. And you can insert your little commercials, and everybody is happy. Why isn't it on every station on the planet? Well, that's a good question. A lot of networks and political stuff. But that's where we, the people, come in. All you need to do is get in touch with your favorite radio stations. The smaller ones may be more open, because some of the big ones are real arrogant. I've talked to them. I know. But, hey. Ask and ye shall receive. That is the way to do it. Just drop them a line. Let them know how to get a hold of us. The website's got a page. Tells you how to do that. Give us a phone call. Give them the phone. We'll talk. It will happen. And we will be live in your city, town, province, state, country. We've been doing some work, possibly something happening in Mexico. So there you go. It's important that these things happen. Don't acquiesce. All right, I got a couple things here. You all know that there's legislation pending in Congress for control of some type of what would you call it? Supplements and so forth like that. And I got a letter from my senator, which we will read shortly. Do you want to understand the increasingly dramatic and revolutionary changes occurring around you? Do you want to know what the New Age is really about? Do you want the deeper meanings of karma and the ascension? Do you want something to bring all the various New Age information pieces together in one place so that you might finally see the big picture? Well, then Michael Sharp's book, The Book of Life, Ascension, and the Divine World Order, is for you. In this book, Michael Sharp brings all the right information together in one easy-to-understand introduction to spirituality and the New Age. Armed with this definitive guide, you will quickly and easily cast aside limited understandings, confusion, and darkness as you step with renewed confidence and vigor onto the path. Read all about it in The Book of Life, Ascension, and the Divine World Order, available at your local metaphysical bookstore, on www.michaelsharp.org, amazon.com, and wherever fine books are sold. Eve Herr approached me, who's been on the show and is a regular guest on Lou Gentile's show. And she really wanted me to write my congressman about these dietary supplements control. And it's not that I don't care about it. It's just that I really don't think it'll happen. And what I mean by it is the outlawing of supplements, because there's so many billions of dollars involved in it. More money is made over the counter than behind the counter. But anyway, nonetheless, I figured synchronicity is speaking, and I sent the letters out to my representative, and senators, one did respond. Senator Dick Durbin from Illinois, I invited all of them to be on the show. I didn't hear anything about that, but I did get a relatively intelligent letter from Mr. Dick Durbin. He is a Democrat from Illinois, Senator. He is, he doesn't come across as these normal politicians who speak in preach downness to you. And he explains, and I have the letter, I can post it on our website. I'll attach it to today's archive for reading. He outlines in here that, according to what he is saying, the Dietary Supplementary Safety Act, S-722, is putting standards together so that producers of natural supplements, dietary supplements, must show any kind of side effects. And he cited example, of course, the people dying from the ephedra, which, perhaps was a something that shouldn't have happened. But nonetheless, I don't want to see the government coming in telling me and what plants that we can use. They're already doing it, some would argue. Some of the more fun plants have been outlawed. Which brings me to my show next week, where Michael Sharp will be here next week talking about the use of hallucinogens for spirituality. But we're talking about things like kava, which I find very nice. Many people have used kava, for example, instead of very harmful antidepressants, which have been shown to have all kinds of side effects. There was a bogus study that was done where they had a bunch of alcoholics in Germany who took kava. They had some liver problems. Well, go figure. It's kind of funny that they're alcoholics, which causes liver problems, but nonetheless, people who have agendas tend to grasp at what they want. But anyway, going through the letter here, S-722 would require supplement manufacturers report adverse effects resulting in serious injury or death to the FDA. This is not a higher reporting standard than exists for prescription drugs or even the over-the-counter medications like aspirin and cough syrup. Adverse health events related to the use of those medications already must be reported to the FDA. For supplements that are not stimulants, such as calcium supplements and many herbal remedies, advance review by the FDA would not be required. However, if the FDA received a report of death, heart attack, or other serious injury, the FDA would have an opportunity to investigate whether or not the product is safe and take an appropriate action if necessary. Now, that sounds nice on the surface, and I am not asserting here that Mr. Durbin has any alternative motives. And in fact, ulterior motives. I find a man pretty good. He comes pretty straight across. Who knows what's inside the heart? No one knows inside the heart of a individual. But nonetheless, I think that on the surface, this is fine. My problem is that if you have, pharmaceutical company who's trying to pull out of kava some of the ingredients and fool around with them. You know that Valium was taken out of Valerian, and they were able to mess around with it and copyright it and so on. Now, what if they want to do that with kava, and they want kind of kava to go away? And so they start trumping up stuff. And like I said, this one report, which has been thrown down by so many people. Nonetheless, you go into a major chain health store and just go out and buy kava. It's not all over the place. GNC got rid of it. Vitamin World got rid of it. And they just don't want to have any trouble with it. And there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing at all. If you do a search on the internet, you'll find all kinds of organic kava places. I've actually got a nice guy, IrishNature.com, I think, was having trouble. We were going to have him on as a guest and got some signals crossed. He was having troubles with PayPal and eBay not letting him sell. And there's nothing wrong with the drug. It's not in any list. It's not reported to be any problem. There was a post on an FDA board by someone who's not even an FDA person. This is what the story I've told, mentioning this study, and lo and behold, that's the kind of thing I'm worried about. I don't want to have the big drug companies be able to come in, find something that's given in nature, and then try to extract out of it and then hammer down on the original product to try and get rid of it. So, I think on the surface this sounds okay, but, you know, there's a lot of problems with the things like the Patriot Act where people might take a surface issue and say, well, you know, I want to protect us, but in the process you're losing your rights. I'd rather have the burden be on us to a degree more than just let the government do it. I mean, if anybody's ever dealt with government type things, Social Security office, unemployment, whatever, they will realize that there's not a lot of whiz-bang people working, at least in the cities. I shouldn't, you know, I'm in Chicago, so my experience has been not too good. So perhaps it would be a good idea for people to check in with their congressman and mention this show. I have an open invite to any of the congressmen, senators, congresswomen, and any of the people who are the leaders of our country to discuss this thing, because I just don't want to see arbitrary absolutes be shoved down our throat. The beauty of wind farms. I got a story sent to me in the mail, email, about people complaining about wind farms. Wind farms are supposed to take away the burning of fossil fuels, etc. And now there's people complaining about the way wind farms work. They birds can fly into the rudders, the fans, if you will, the big fans that turn. And here is the problem. This is the problem right here. Perfectly aligned. What our outlined problem of human race is. Everyone wants it their way. If you have people who are pro-life, pro-abortion, or anti-abortion, however you want to phrase it, if you were to have those people sitting in the talk, and I was their narrator, we can come out with areas where both of them would be mad at me, and then you have to make choices, because each one is following their line of thought to the way they want to do it, and then bolstering that opinion with colorful things to make the issue. And here's the same example. We have people trying to get off fossil fuels. You can't have it all. There's not. Well, I guess maybe Sterling Allen's working on it. And he hasn't had it yet. But when we do have it all, there's always going to be a trade-off. You're going to have wind farms. You're going to have some place designated to have the windmills, which don't necessarily look pretty. I've seen them in Texas when I drove by. I thought they were kind of cool. You know, they were standing on a low mountain range. I thought it was kind of cool looking. I don't know. But we're going to have to be able to kind of give and take here. Just like someone, when they put a freeway in, a lot of people are happy about it, but the people who used to live there may not be. That's why I think they should be well compensated for losing of their lands. Go back in the old days in Chicago, either you sold for the price that they wanted to buy it from, or you kind of lost the house. I know, sounds like a mob, but well, that's, you know, Chicago does have a reputation. Hopefully they're beyond that. But anyway, that's... The thing is we're going to have to be able to give and take here and have a little respect and look at the bigger picture, and people aren't going to get their way. I got a clue for everybody out there. You're not going to get your way. You're never always going to get your way. And if that's your goal, you're going to have a life of misery. But we can have win-win. We can look for a higher ideal and work together. Sometimes you take it on the chin, sometimes I take it on the chin. But we look out for each other, and we help one another and work toward the goals. It is really simple, but people won't do it. They want it their way. My way is right, and here's my proof. I got God telling me it's right. I got science telling me it's right. I got political parties telling me it's right. This is the way to do it. That is not the way to do it. It is not the way to do it. The way to do it is to work things out, and hopefully... That is the lesson that we will learn before we go into some kind of, whether it be a war, or whether it be just simple anarchy. That is what our goal is going to try and be. I want to thank Ron for sending that wind farm in. I mean, I didn't really talk so much about the story, but I wanted to mention about the concept containing in there is so perfect. And I do want to mention a website real quick before we go to the break. I've been getting from Lazarus. You know, he's the guy behind Ask ET, which is intersites.com/AskET. Getting a lot of good questions in there and good answers. Anyway, he sends me these links from a website. And I'd like you guys to check it out and let me know what you think. It's www.indiadaily.com. It's IndiaDaily.com. India Daily. And it has a lot of UFO stories, a lot of science, of reverse engineering. And I want to know what you think. If this is are these legitimate stories, is this like one of those margin? What is it? What's it called? Gosh, I want to buy the paper and bring it in to read the stories because they're so outrageous. You know, like dog boy found in Borneo. You know, and I got a picture of a dog with a boy's head painted on it. And I want to know what you think about this paper, IndiaDaily.com. Let's see if we can get somebody on from over there and see what's going on. Apparently, India is opening up in UFO stories if this is true and letting out some of these dirty little secrets. We'll be back with our one of our features, Dr. Rita's Soul Heater Movement, and we'll continue live on Feet to Fire and the IBC Radio Network and you. We'll be right back.
Listening to Feet to the Fire.
Você está escutando ao Feet to the Fire.
Du lytter til Feet to the Fire.
You are listening to Feet to the Fire.
With Black Knight.
All right, we're back. And we're live, and let's push the magic button. And reach out into cyberspace and dial Dallas, Texas, and we will be connected live with Dr. Rita.
Hello.
We are live with Dr. Rita coming out of the ethers from Dallas, Texas. How are you today?
I'm great, James. How are you today?
Well, by golly, I'm not doing half bad myself. See, by golly, I worked in it from Texas.
Do they say that in Texas?
Well, actually, when I was down there, I heard it, but it was in New Mexico, but I don't know. It sounds Texan to me, by golly.
I thought they said, like, yeehaw and stuff like that here.
Yeehaw! I got all of that, too. I got my little tour to South, and I got my edumacation.
Uh-huh.
And on that uplifting note, you're going to talk about hopelessness.
Well, you know, it seems to be a pretty common emotion that people are hitting these days.
Yeah.
You know, it's just been interesting. You know, when I was sitting here preparing for our little visit again this month, I said, you know, instead of just randomly picking something to talk about, I thought that I would sit there and just kind of evaluate, you know, some of the issues that have been coming through my office, you know, from clients. And that has been a word that has come up a lot. And so I said, well, it must be in the air, so it must be something important to talk about. And so we are.
And I can't think of a better person who will give us hope, give hope to the hopeless.
That's right. You know, and James, I think everyone is feeling the struggle of today, you know, just living in this world. You know, you sit there and every day gas prices go up. I went to Tennessee a couple of weeks ago, and when I left my house, gas was $1.15. Well, actually, it was $1.13. I got to Tennessee, or $2.13. Got to Tennessee, it was $2.15. Was there for 2 days, and it went up to $2.19. I'm like, how can it go up 4 cents in 2 days? I don't get it, but it did. You know, and you go to the supermarket, food prices are soaring. Every day, people feel like their personal freedoms are being taken away. You know, you watch TV and you experience all this aggression and violence in the world. You know, you watch the news and you feel like there's a constant threat to our personal and global security. And with all that going on, you wonder why. People just feel a little hopeless. And, you know, maybe let me kind of put some clarity or a little bit of a box around that word. The signs and symptoms of being hopeless is the feeling of wanting to give up. You know, there's a futility in your efforts. People tend to feel very pessimistic. And another emotion that is tied, I don't know if this is an emotion, but a thing that's tied to it is depression. But I think most important that the words that I keep hearing from people is that they're sick and tired of what's going on, but they feel like they can't change anything. And I think that's the most important thing, is that feeling that even though you might try really hard, you just can't change anything. You know, and it's interesting because when you talk to most people, you know, kind of politicians aside, people want to do the right thing. They want to live in their integrity. They want to eat right. They want to take care of their neighbors. They don't want to, you know, be bad people. They want to live from their integrity. But when you sit there and you're fighting, you're in this constant battle all the time, it forces us to be out of our integrity and creates an inner conflict within us. You know, and from a, I'm just going to shift here, but from a very energetic point of view, you know, and I don't know if you talk much about chakras on your show, but I'm going to talk about that here real quick. The chakras are the energy system within the body, and the third chakra is the one that's located around the stomach, and it controls our power and our power space. And when someone is feeling hopeless, that chakra is just being overrun by energy. And where if someone is depressed, they're not using their energy for themselves. And so it's like there's not any inner charge. But if you're feeling hopeless, it's as if you're using all your energy, but you're not getting anywhere. And so it's very interesting because it's a very similar dynamic, but it's not the same. Kind of cool. You know, and I think, you know, when I sat there and I was working this up, I, you know, the image that came to me was when you're feeling hopeless, there's no light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I've been there.
You know, and you're just, there's no light. You been there, James?
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe once or twice. I don't know, but that was a long time ago, right?
Yeah, ages ago. Well, it feels like it was 1,000 years ago and
yeah,
yesterday.
Yeah, 1,000 years ago. Not me. One of the things, though, that I think is very important is that it's always darkest right before the dawn. You know, and I will admit, I was watching Joan of Arcadia this weekend. Great show. If you haven't watched it, I don't mean to give that a big plug, but it's a great show. And she was feeling, it was interesting, I was working on this, and she was feeling hopeless in the show. And God comes and talks to Joan, if you're not familiar with the show. And God came and told Joan, and I had to write this down because it was apropos, that challenges make you strong, and challenges give you faith. And when you're feeling hopeless, it's as if everything going on in your life is a challenge. And so one of the things that I want to share with the listeners is that it is going to, you know, through the adversity, they will gain strength and they will gain faith in themselves. One of the other things about hopelessness is that, you know, because you're sick and tired of everything that's going on in the world around you, it really gives you time to stop and reflect, or, you know, the hope is that you would sit there and go inside and reevaluate what's important to you, what's going on in your life, where are you using your energy, where shouldn't you be using your energy, and just kind of regroup and rebuild from the inside, because it's really about, you know, I mean, when you're feeling really beat up, it's, you know, that's the place that most of us go. And, you know, where the hope comes is being able to take that newfound guidance and rebuild yourself and your life. And one of the things that I know that as you sit there and become strong and have more confidence in yourself, you can live a more authentic and self-determined life. And when I say that, I mean that you just don't care. I mean, and not in a bad way, what other people think. It's like you do what you need to do for you. But usually when you're coming from that place, you're coming from a place of integrity, you know, because this is what's important. And so that's, you know, that's what being authentic is all about.
When you're in a place of hopelessness, a lot of time all the peripheral stuff is torn away so that you're dealing with the root of a lot of the problems. And you can put all your focus in on either going down with that final count or are actually hitting that bottom, the right thing, dealing with it, and coming up, and then all of it kind of gets better as you go on.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. You know, so as you're sitting there, and, you know, if any of you are sitting there feeling hopeless, you know, it's important for you to decide what's important to you. You know, to find inspiration in your strength and in your choices. And then once you sit there and make some choices as to how you want to live your life and how you, you know, what and how you want to be and how you want to interact with people, you know, and become more of your authentic self, you can start living by that those choices and begin living a life of purpose. And as you start doing that and integrating those things into your life, you start having hope, because where before you were powerless, now you're creating power back into your life and taking more control and command of what you're doing and where you're going.
I think that takes some measure of faith that is actually possible. When you're down that bad, someone needs something to hold on to think that there is some kind of hope.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of it, is having that faith. You know, and that was one of the things that I've, you know, found very interesting about that show was, you know, that was the comment. Challenges make you strong, but give you faith.
We've probably got a couple of minutes left here in the segment. Do you have some kind of I don't know if the word would be meditation or some kind of focus that people might use when they get down like that?
Well, I mean, what I think they could do is to close their eyes and just take a nice deep breath. And just take a moment to identify all of the different challenges that they have going on in their lives. And sit there and start prioritizing or identifying what ones they can have any kind of control over and what ones they can't. You know, we can't control how much gas prices are. Now, I mean, we can't choose, you know, we can't choose to not ever buy gas again. And there are some people that will boycott gas stations and, you know, take public transportation in an effort to not use gas, which is their choice, but that came from that inner strength place. And identify where you can sit there and start making changes in your life and you know, making that list. I can control this, I can't control that, and start focusing on what you can do, what you can start improving in your life and letting go of the other stuff, because you can sit there and go around and around in circles trying to fix it and complain about it, but it's really not going to change.
I know when I had a buildup of energy, I followed one of your meditations in your book, Avoiding a Cosmic 2x4, and I grounded, and there was a tremendous kind of a balanced release that happened.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like if you have too much, but even if it's too much bad or too much energy unbalanced, that you can actually start thinking things goofy. And when you kind of let that all out and resign yourself, like you said, to the things that you can't change, and then do the higher good of the things that you can change, it's just going to work.
Mm-hmm. It has no choice but to.
And that's an important. I'm glad you put it that straight up. It has no choice but to. That's like energy. If you bring something to a certain temperature, it will burn. If it, you know, I mean, it just will. And unless you interject some kind of change into that progress, it's just going to continue happening the way it is. And if you put that positive change in there, it will get better.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes you just have to hit rock bottom before anything's really going to change. You know, do I have a minute?
About 30 seconds.
Okay. One of the things that I wanted to share is the FDA has gotten its hand slapped a couple of times. There's the overturning of the ephedra rule that happened in Utah this past week, and the FDA also got slapped regarding pharmaceuticals in England. The Parliament slapped the FDA's hand, and everyone has a lot of frustration about, you know, the drug situation and pharmaceuticals and herbs and stuff like that. And so change is starting to happen, and it's starting to get recognized in the world around us. And so there is hope there. There is hope. There's always hope.
Excellent. It's always great having you, Dr. Rita Louise, soulhealer.com, with this week's Soul Healer Moment. You took on hopelessness, and you've given us hope.
Woo-hoo!
And we will get to you next month. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This reality is going on without me. On without me, I'm so happy. Clouds are lifting. It's easy to be free. Easy to be free in the evening.
Hi, I'm Ann McWilliams, and you're listening to Feet to the Fire with the Black Knight.
All right, we're back live, and I gave a little call to Sterling Allen, who was gracious to come on with like 30 seconds notice. Are you there, Sterling? There we go. Got the right buttons. Yeah, we're just
been the crying baby noise in the background.
Oh, well, that's a good noise in a way. I could tell I haven't had a crying baby in a long time, but there's a lot of buzz going on about this acetone. And you broke it on this.
It really has been. I mean, it's been going throughout the internet. Different discussion groups are picking it up, talking about it. Most of the time, they're naysaying it, and usually the naysayers are not doing anything, not actually putting it in their engine or in their fuel.
And I've been testing it with a diesel engine that I have, and I just took a kind of a long trip down Oklahoma and back, and the latest numbers I had, which I haven't even given you yet, I just did. Whereas I'm up 6.8 miles per gallon, and including 10 hours of idle. So
and your normal was 6.1, right?
Yeah. Now I understand that any given time. I mean, I had a light load, for example, and when I went out there, I had to go through up and down on hills, so my mileage was less. It was 6.4, I think it was. And then I had a straight shot at 75 miles an hour. I have a very low gear in the truck, so it's 75. Through Oklahoma, it's nothing for that truck, so it's actually good mileage. So I understand that it's going to go up and down, but we're putting together a 3-month average. And my 3-month average prior to acetone was 6.1, and now it's 6.6, if not rising. And it seems that it is doing anything, but some of the things I've people are talking about it ruining your rings and so forth, and I recommend people to, if they really want to get involved on this, do you have a discussion group?
Well, yeah, let's interject here. When you say ruining your rings, that's theoretical. People are assuming that that's what's going to happen. In reality, they have put the fuel components for extended periods of time in pure acetone, and the worst they see is a little bit of swelling of some components, but you're not seeing degradation. The acetone does degrade some cheaper plastics. It'll actually eat through it. But on the kind of components you're going to be having in a fuel system are going to be rigorous enough to be able to withstand the acetone, and it's in small concentrations. And so people who are yammering off at the mouth about what acetone is going to do to your fuel system are speaking theoretically, not experimentally.
And I like the letter that you forwarded from LaPointe. Louis LaPointe, who explained how he's been using it for 20 years and has hundreds of thousands of miles on his systems. And in fact, the wear and all the things people are saying about it, according to his reports, it's actually less. I mean, it's been not only improvement in mileage, but performance and improvement in wear.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just taking his word for it, and I'm sure he's not lying. I mean, the guy's pretty straight up with this. But that's the kind of that's what's going to speak in the long run is the practical application of it.
Well, I have to, in a sense of objectivity, I have to say that I find that people who are closest to the research tend to exaggerate, and I believe the same is true of him. He, in his original story, said that you could expect 15 to 35% improvement in mileage. Just off the top of my head, at the averages of people who've reported the results of putting acetone, I would put the average at 10% improvement. In other words, what he is claiming that he has seen in the past 20 years of his experimentation is an exaggeration of what I've been seeing from people who've been trying it from all over the planet.
Well, that's why we appreciate what you guys do there and testing it out at freeenergy.com or Pure Energy Systems. And I wanted to get you on here real quick to bring this up, and I appreciate the time. And we'll keep people up to date through your regular updates.
Alrighty.
Thanks a lot, Sterling. We will be back with Tammy Joy Kennedy right after this.
Hi, this is James Athayanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. And when you think of voiceovers, you normally think of commercials, right? Well, let me ask you something. Does your company voicemail sound like this?
Hello. Welcome to TechCom High Speed Circuit Design. Press 1 for sales.
Now, do you want
press
that to be the sales. High-tech first impression to a caller? Now, how about this?
Hello, you've reached TechCom, an innovator in high-speed circuit design. How may we route your call?
While Inventive Voice does create, script, record, and produce fine, top-notch, broadcast-quality commercials, think out of the box. Let us impress your clients with creatively conceived and professionally produced audio for any occasion. In-house commercials for retail stores, for example. How about fast-paced promotional audio played in elevators, restrooms, and other short-term but often visited areas? Visit our website at www.inventivevoice.com. Drop us an email or give us a call at 888-863-2722 and let us create memorability for you.
Live on the air several different ways. You can call by phone, toll free in the United States and Canada at 888-863-2722. If you have internet access, point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com. And check the left of the screen for the How to Participate text and click. You can then choose direct chat with James or join the official IBC group chat room. You can send email to James at f2f@innersights.com. That's f2f@innersites.com. There is a video chat room to see James in action as well as other F2F listeners. www.ivisit.com has the free software to download and access the Feet to Fire video chat room. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Jancic.
I like that. Thank you, MJ. It sounds so good. And now, here he is. Well, anyway, we're live. Our guest here is Tammy Jo Kennedy, is the Red Rider in Oklahoma, a health freedom fighter and second-generation nerve signal interference specialist. She has done homage to the sun as the first disciple of Crafter, her grandfather, Dr. Earl Franklin Cratton. I'm sorry, I said Crafter, it's Cratton. First disciple, being the first disciple of Cratton, which is Dr. Earl Franklin Cratton, has been published numerous times in the chiropractic journals and even won the Texas Chiropractic College Centennial Award in 1995. Cratton, which means land, denounced his profession in 1996, and Tammy has since found extremely strong parallels to the Hopi prophecy in the ensuing battle for public health, safety, welfare of the people. Her website is nsirtech.com. And welcome to Feet to Fire, Tammy Jo Kennedy.
Hi, James.
Yes, it's nice having you.
Just a couple corrections. It's Cratton, C-R-A-T-O-N.
Okay.
Earl Franklin Cratton's my grandfather. And, of course, my name is Tammy Joy Kennedy. I used to call myself Joe, but picked up the Y when my daughter was born.
Oh, did I say Joe? I'm sorry. It's sitting right in front of me, Joy, so I guess the Tammy Joe just snuck out.
That's okay. It keeps popping out there. I don't know why it keeps popping out there, but Tammy Joy. Creighton is the work. The chiropractors, I know they call it the Creighton method, but he never sanctioned the chiropractors. And there's a few that's trying to steal it, and it's a huge battle. My website, nsirtech.com/parallel.html, is a good position to find the Hopi prophecy. I was amazed when I found it. It links to nsirtech.com/proof.html. And I had actually created the proof page previous to the parallel page. And then when I ran up on the Hopi prophecy on the internet, I was just amazed.
Well, perhaps we can sum up the Hopi prophecy and then go into how that applies, kind of fill us in on Dr. Creighton and his methods and so forth.
Okay. Of course, I can't be online and on the telephone at the same time. So do you have that availability?
Yes, we have. I'm actually calling up your page right now. What would you like me to go to?
It's nsirtech/parallel. I think it's parallel spelled P-A-R-A-L-L-E-L dot H-T-M-L.
All right. Anybody who's got a computer along the way here can help us. H-T-M-L. I've just put H-T-M on.
Yeah. That's H-T-M-L.
There we go. Okay. There it is.
And that links to a larger page. It actually links to the page that I found on the internet that I ran across, and I picked a portion of it out and wrote the woman that had the page out there, and she said, no problem, go right ahead. She had, she was amazed and drawn to the Hopi prophecy as well. And she approved of my posting that portion and, the use of it that you see. And I'm not sure where that comes from. If anybody knows out there specifically, I'd love to hear from them this evening. I know I've read a lot of prophecy, Cherokee prophecy, Sioux prophecy, and the Hopi prophecy on the web myself in the course of time.
Okay, well, can you just give us a thumbnail from how you understand it and to how it applies?
Well, the proof page, if you go to the nsirtech.com/proof.html, it's kind of technical, but it goes into it, and there's like in the midsection of that page, it's a red page with gold print on it. There's a animation in there, and it's from the Life University Chiropractic College's research page. And they had that out there, and I found it, and it is a ludicrous depiction of the lateral-occipital joint, which is where the head comes in contact with the spine, which is my grandfather's expertise. Their presentation is absolutely comical, and I saved the page to the website, and I notified the college that I was going to critique and criticize their presentation, and they know about my presence out here. I've been contacting them several years now. And anyway, their page went down. But I stuck it back out there, and then, of course, it was archived, and I've linked to the archive now. And on that little animation, there's a skull above the atlas and the axis of the spinal column. And the atlas, of course, is the first vertebra. Anyway, in their presentation, the skull is hovering over the atlas. Well, if you look at the prophecy, and you have to take it for a literal interpretation, you can see. And in the prophecy, and I don't have it in front of me, but it talks about there'd be two paths. There'd be this upper path and this lower path, and the upper path that...
It will zigzag into oblivion or something.
Hang on just a second. I'm going to move phones, okay?
Okay.
Right there.
All right, that's nsirtech.com.
Pull it up on my hard drive. Hang on a second. It's nsirtech.com/parallel.html is what I'm going to look at.
Okay.
And... I'm pulling this up on my hard drive, so I have access. Okay. Not long ago, the Hopi, whose name means people of peace, were given a diagram of a life plan that would guide them through this time in history. Eloquently simple, their plan consists of two parallel paths, parallel possibilities representing the life choices of humankind. In the beginning, both paths appear very similar. The upper path, however, gradually turns into a broken zigzag that ends nowhere. Those who choose this path are represented with their heads detached, hovering over their bodies. And if you click on that particular link there that's presented, then it goes to the proof page, and it talks about my critique of their graphic, the animated GIF. And it's just, I mean, it just hit so perfect with pop.
So I guess the Hopi prophecy aspect would be that path that zigzags and that has the head hovering over whatever, it would be the way that medicine is going now?
It's chiropractic, actually. That specifically is chiropractic. And I have been talking for like probably 10 years now. I said chiropractic is going to cease to exist because they have, as my grandfather said, missed the mark as to what the real cause of the problem, as to the reason why the body does not heal itself. And the reason why the body does not heal itself is because there is a nerve signal interference between the brain and the body. Well, the head is, in particular, the head where it comes in contact with the atlas, is the major intersection between the brain and the body. And he did a dissection in 1985 it was an osteopathic college down in Fort Worth, Texas. And he proved the true architectural design of the atlanto-occipital joint in 1985. And he was published in the chiropractic journals at that point in time. But I always said he was ahead of his time. And so because nobody was really listening or the status quo had already made their choices, that to go against the grain would mean a lot of people, I mean, it came down to jobs.
Okay, so if I can get this summarized, he found out that the chiropractic was on a path away from actually healing, and he found the secret or the keys to realigning the head in such a way to parallel the Hopi prophecy so that the realignment of the head would cause spiritual healing.
True, and but he didn't see the Hopi prophecy. He never knew about it.
Yeah.
I'm the one who ran up on it recently.
Yeah, you kind of.
I imagine it's been out there for years, but I have just recently seen it, and let me see. I found it in 2001.
So he had this new technique that he found, which worked rather naturally and rather well, and he presented it to the chiropractic, and they pretty much didn't go for it.
Right, because the person would get well. And chiropractic, okay, let's go back in time just a little bit. D.D. Palmer, the founder of chiropractic, the original story is there's a janitor called Harvey Lillard. He was in a stoop position, like up underneath a stair, and he was mopping or, you know, cleaning up. Anyway, he felt something give in his back, and his hearing ceased to exist after that, or shortly after that, is the story. D.D. Palmer talks to this old boy, Harvey Lillard, and says to him, well, let me take a look. So he takes a look at his back, and he, according to Palmer, finds a subluxated or partially dislocated vertebra, which means it's slightly out of place. So he whacks on this old boy's back, and now he can hear again, and that's the story. So naturally, because whatever object that was in view of Palmer was in the back, he assumed that the spine is the cause of everything. You know, if the spine is not in perfect articulation or even, you know, completely straight, then you're going to have problems.
And they were close, but really the answer is at between the head and the spine.
Right. What he probably actually did deal with is called a rib head subluxation, which is right next to the vertebra. But instead of seeing it for what it truly was, he assumed that it was the vertebra. Well, the vertebra is a shock absorber. It's, you know, it shifts and, I mean, you bend over, you twist, you dance, you know, you tie your shoes. It moves freely. And so because of that, you know, fluid movement in the spine, it compensates for whatever stressors may be directly around it.
And it seems like this is just another chapter in science, whether it be about the pyramids and classical Egyptology, chronology, or whether it's about the medical association versus the benefits of herbs, whatever, even within chiropractic, which it's in and of itself would complain about the medical people accepting them. They also, too, have their politics and their sub-agendas other than learning the truth of healing.
Right, exactly. From the beginning of time, as far as I'm concerned, at least in the modern age, the powers that be, the ones who were able to get to the top of the hill, have, once they realized that it was lucrative, have always wanted to keep anybody who would stray from that path, you know, out of the game, I guess you could say.
And I would imagine your grandfather did, he did just that, strayed from the path.
Oh, very definitely. But they recognized him as the best of the best in 1995. He won the Texas Chiropractic College's Centennial Award.
Well, I know some...
On the back it says, for exclusive recognition for exemplary service to the chiropractic profession in its 100th year. Well, my grandfather told me repeatedly, he said, this is beyond chiropractic. And the reason why it's gone beyond chiropractic is because they never taught it. And he gave them every opportunity to do that.
Well, I've known
from
dealing with people, myself having done some, you know, innovations, that when you do step out of the box, a lot of times what they do is they try to bribe you in the box by recognizing you or being nice to you. But if you don't follow their path, eventually you get in trouble. And I would take a guess that your grandfather continued on his path of truth, and thus that's when the trouble started.
Well, he was, in 1995, he was 93 years old. So at 93 years old, I'm figuring, and this is my opinion, but I'm figuring the powers that be, which, of course, he spoke to Sid Williams, he spoke to Parker, he spoke to another gentleman with another college. I can't think of his name at the moment, but, I mean, he talked to the top colleges. He talked to the top forces inside the chiropractic profession, and he's 93 years old. Well, I'm thinking that group, that clan, basically was waiting on the old man to die. Well, he lived another 7 years. And in that time, I mean, he was almost 100 years old when he died. In that time, he sanctioned me as the root. I am the source. And I approached the chiropractic field while he was still alive and said, hey, you know, let me help you guys. And they didn't want anything to do with that.
Yeah,
they
you were, I mean, he may have been in as far as his being in chiropractic for a long time, but I imagine you'd be looked at as an outsider to the group.
Oh, yes, but still, they all know me. Every single one of them, as far as anybody in this state who's in any power whatsoever, and I'm in Oklahoma, knows exactly who I am. And there are colleges as well who know who I am. And they know me through Creighton.
So you studied now. You are the person carrying the torch for your
right.
grandfather, and you studied on him, and he taught you these techniques.
Right. And not only did he teach me the techniques, but he told me the reason why chiropractic failed. He absolutely made sure that I understood the reason why chiropractic was either or failing or dangerous. And up in Canada, they've actually killed some people, and they're calling for a moratorium on chiropractic upper neck manipulation, which, of course, is the adjustment of the atlas underneath the head. Well, my grandfather didn't do it that way. My grandfather adjusted the head on top of the atlas, and it's safer. In fact, I mean, as far as I have seen, it's a perfect science because it's made no error whatsoever, and it's being labeled as artist, miracle worker. With the group that actually knows what I can do anything. And yet, I don't know what I can do.
All right, well, let me see. Now, if chiropractic is falling on the wayside and they're facing maybe perhaps some legal challenges, that's going to greatly affect your ability to share your information, won't it?
Right. Except for my website.
I mean, you're going to be lumped into that category.
I'm trying to get the local community, Enid, Oklahoma, I have access through Pegasus, which is a public access television station, which I've put out probably, I'm thinking 15 shows. But I've been shut down twice now because the local chiropractors or the ministers or anybody else who might have to lose from all of this, they've made every effort to put my voice out by making complaints to the station saying that I'm doing this or doing that and that they have objection to it.
Ministers?
Well, they've been able to succeed twice now.
What, ministers, as in religious officials?
Yes, even they.
Well, what on earth would they have having objections about this?
I'm sorry?
What on earth, why on earth would they object to any of this?
Well, I found in the Bible recently, and it just keeps coming to my mind, and I was in the city council meeting the other night, and the minister gets up before the whole meeting praying, saying, oh, Lord, you know, these are the men that put us in charge, you know, may we follow them, et cetera, you know, they're assuming from Paul, saying, you know, I don't know where it's at in the Bible, but something about how Paul had made the claim that the powers that be were, of course, from God, and so that we should respect that. And so they're following that concept instead of realizing that that was not necessarily true and that it's more like Revelation says, which is, of course, the harlot who's in control and ruling over the kings of the earth. And that's how I see it.
So it's kind of a... they're not objecting to what you're doing on any spiritual basis. It's more just a political power
again,
thing.
Yes, they're following the state. The church, of course, there's a separation of church and state. But I've gone to the state. The state is corrupt. And I've gone to the church, and the church doesn't realize it.
Well, what about doing the old, you know, when you try to help within and, you try, then you end up doing what people like Martin Luther does, is just kind of go out on your own.
And that's what I'm doing.
Well, there. Okay. Well, there you go. You tried from within, and now you go without, and you start a new branch or a new
right.
field of it. That's where this nerve signal interference specialist is. It's about.
Yeah, it's nerve signal interference removal is the field, and my title is a nerve signal interference specialist. And the thing about it, though, is I felt obligated to give them every chance because, you know what? If chiropractic was to actually do this, we could help so many more people. And so that was my call. In fact, my grandfather wanted that, and so he put me out there to make that effort. So I went through the path that was given to us originally. And then, of course, in this court process, find out that if they don't teach it, that they really have no claim to it. But we haven't got that far in the process of the court system. And so I'm personally thinking, well, the court process isn't exactly perfect either.
No,
deep pockets around here, so you know.
Remember, for many years, it was perfectly legal and constitutional to own human beings. So that court system may take time to catch up with the spiritual. But hold on, we're going to go for a break.
Okay.
And we'll come back talking with Tammy Joy Kennedy. I remembered, and about her nerve signal interference specialty, branching away and going on from chiropractic, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Feet to the Fire.
Você está escutando ao Feet to the Fire.
Bienvenue. Vous écoutez Feet to the Fire.
You are listening to Feet to the Fire.
With the Black Knight.
All right, we are back. And we are live. I love this tune. I keep listening to it instead of talking. But this is Talk Radio. And talk I shall. We want to welcome back Tammy Joy Kennedy. Feet to the Fire, welcome back.
Hi.
We're talking to the Martin Luther of chiropractic, I guess, huh?
I guess you could say, in a sense. I'm not a chiropractor, though. I could have been. Interestingly enough, I guess you could say, my grandfather, when he approached the chiropractic field, his payment would have basically been my education. The trade would have been, I think the chiropractic education these days is about $100,000, which honestly, the chiropractors would have had an honest steal to have given me that kind of a chance, and I would have been there to make sure they were doing it right and could have reached so many more people and helped so many more, you know, of the crippled and deformed and, you know, all of those that really do need us so much.
But you are able to help people, though.
Oh, yes. My grandfather pulled people out of wheelchairs and out of comas, and doctors still don't know why that is going on. They don't understand a coma. My grandfather pulled a woman out of a coma. They don't, like Christopher Reeve, you know, and the Pope, and, you know, he had the feeding tube. I looked at the Pope. You know, his head was subluxated.
So you think that the Pope could have been helped?
Twisted.
The Pope could have been helped by
yes.
Christopher
yes.
Reeve could have?
Yes.
I mean, he was.
And I have made the effort to reach Christopher Reeve's group, and I'm not a doctor, as what they're looking for. And technically, I'm not a doctor, although I've put in the hours to be considered a doctor under the hours, you know, in college. It just so happens my college was my grandfather.
What happens now if say you're at home in Oklahoma and I were to come to you for some type of adjustment? Is, I mean, are you able to do that, or is there a risk of action being taken against you?
Well, I've been sued by the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, and that took place last April, I believe it was. In fact, I got a thing in my mailbox, which I have not picked up yet, but I have a certified letter right now that's waiting for me at the post office from the Attorney General's office. And so I am in the middle of litigation and, you know, politics.
Well, now, is there any place that you're looking at to find some kind of accreditation or home in? I mean, naturopathy? I mean, some branch somewhere that will embrace you and bring you into their fold? Are you really going to be going out completely on your own?
Well, I made the effort. There's a, I think it's called the Oklahoma Natural, Oklahoma School of Natural Healing, I think it is, over in Tulsa. And several years ago, I was actually offered an opportunity to teach in their college. And that's how I got the gentleman, I think his name was Robert Groves, the owner of the college, he's the one that said that I was the first disciple of Creighton. And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess so, you know. So I've kind of been led by the hand as to my title these days. But I know that I'm a figure of history and that, you know, I'm tied to Creighton because of what he did.
Okay, so Dr. Creighton had figured out that by repositioning the head, it opens up some type of a healing channel, or how would you phrase it if I had, you know, had to give a paragraph to explain what happens when he does this? How would you do that? How would you?
Okay. Well, I'll do a small critique of the chiropractic profession. Their position is that innate is all-knowing, all-powerful, and that of course, would be the brain, and that their key is thinking that the brain, if it can get the messages through to the body, can control or correct anything that may be wrong. My grandfather said, well, that's not exactly true, because if the brain has inaccurate information to work with, hence it doesn't really know what's going on with the body, then how can it know to send the message to begin with? So while they're looking at the motor side of the reflex arc, my grandfather was instead looking at the sensory side.
Well, that makes sense.
And so he said, well, you know what, let's get this intersection corrected where the body can send the messages to the brain, and the brain has accurate information to work on. The healer is in the brain, and I cannot define it except for to say that I know that God put it there from the beginning of time, and it has the ability to decide what to do in regard to the body's environment. Now the brain is sending the message, and again, you have to, of course, get that back through there, but you know, you have to have accurate information of the brain before the brain can know to send anything out. And, of course, there's that circuit. So, you know, there's corrections that are made along the way. But if the brain and the body are stressed, I guess you could say, that union between the two, and I do know that the hypothalamus, I believe, is in there. I can't exactly explain it except for to say that there's too many signals being sent in the wrong direction.
Okay, well, I mean, I can see if you want to use an analogy of an inductive group of cable coils, and then you kink one of the ends of it, or you know, the induction can cross over into other coils and mess up the results. I mean, we know there has been plane crashes, for example, that has stemmed from the use of electronic sensors rather than the old fashioned cables. I mean, when the guys would fly the plane, they'd have to pull the cable to change the rudders, but now they put in electronic stuff that runs on these micro signals, and when those signals get crossed, you know, the plane falls out of the sky. So, I mean, it's a pretty reasonable principle to be able to figure if you crink the signals, the brain won't be able to, will misread it, and could actually do harm.
Right, right. I can't exactly explain to you the mechanism in which that works. But as I've always said, you don't really have to know that part of it if you know what to do to cause it to work right.
Well, yeah, okay. That's true. I mean, I know that if I take vitamin C, I won't get scurvy. I don't have to know how scurvy works.
Right.
Just how to, you know, that makes sense. Now, is there a danger in any of the adjustments that in your technique?
Well, I'll just give you, I'll pull out of my little bag cases that I've handled. The chiropractors, they wrote in the letter to the editors, what if she, you know, causes somebody to go into an epileptic seizure was one of the things they threw up at me. I've actually worked on two epileptics. My sister is an epileptic, and I know there's more to epilepsy besides what I can do. And then, of course, I have a friend who's also epileptic, and I have worked on both of them, and I have solved their problems. My sister, one time, I did make an incomplete or an erroneous adjustment, and it just was sore for her the next day. And she mentioned it again, and so I said, okay, well, let's take another look. And this time I found the problem, and I fixed it, and the problem went away. So I'm not exactly perfect. I'm human, you know. We're all fallible.
Now, you know, it's funny you've mentioned this. My ex-wife had an injury to her neck. Well, and she still does. I mean, she's still around. She has an injury to her neck, and it causes her a lot of trauma. And what I did is I actually adjusted her neck just out of, I don't know how I did. I would be scared to do it today, but it was like 15 years ago or something like that. And the crack that it made was, I thought I killed her. You know, and she thought it was the greatest thing she's ever experience. And
right.
So I did
now,
that.
Now, again, I want to just be specific because everybody, this is very similar, as the Hope Week Prophecy points out. Again, I'm not actually adjusting the neck or the atlas. I'm adjusting the head on top. But I will say that in your wife's case, she probably, and it's called a cavitation, it's possible that you released some pressure and maybe that's just what she needed. And that's, I mean, the chiropractors are able to do some good in regard to that. But they need to know when to keep their hands off of the atlas, you know. And
yeah, I stopped doing it because I, you know, I just, you know, I'm fooling around, and I just, you know, all of a sudden if she's, you know, paralyzed, I couldn't live myself. But the principle I'm saying is that it seems like that it makes sense that a lot of people were to be adjusted. I mean, I would like to, if I'm ever in your neck of the woods, I would most definitely like to have you do an adjustment to see what it would do.
Right. Well, under the law of the land, right now as we speak, I can look you over and I can tell you exactly what the problem is. And it is so comical, but if we're going to go according to the law of the land, then the politics and the red tape it takes for you to get an adjustment is, okay, Tammy can give you her expert opinion, but you got to have a doctor in the room who's going to be able to say, okay, you know what, my ego isn't that important and this patient's, you know, well-being is more important in my pocketbooks, so I'm going to make sure that Tammy has a chance to do the art that she knows to do, and I'm going to allow for it to happen. And they can do that, and I've had one doctor that has actually done that. And
there's got to be a doctor in Oklahoma somewhere.
Legally. You know, that's the way to get it absolutely legally.
There's got to be a doctor somewhere in Oklahoma who would see what you're doing and go along with it and team up with you, so to speak. I mean, there's got to be somebody out there.
It should. And I ever so often do the feelers out. In fact, I've got a call out to a guy in Midwest City right now, a chiropractor who's a new guy. He's probably 6 months out. He's wet behind the ears. He hears what I have to say, but he doesn't ever contact me. You know, he doesn't, I mean, kind of being led along, like you said, something about keep him happy. You know, but then, of course, they never actually come through.
Now,
I'm going to have to continue to look, and it would be nice to hear somebody come to me, because then, you know what, they're open to it.
Well, then, you know,
the ego is.
We have this show going live coast to coast at the moment, then we'll have the archives up, and you just never know. Synchronistically, stranger things have happened. We have a question coming in from Denny, who is in the chat room, who asks, what inspires you to go through all these hassles? In moving on, doing this?
Well, when I was in junior high school, I was hit over the head with a book, probably about 6 inches thick, and I got hit solid, square across the top of my head. And I have what's called an osteoma on my right side of my head. It's like in the place of a horn. I basically have a horn on one side of my head, and it was a cracked skull that didn't heal up quite right. And in that same impact, My grandfather's the one that told me about it a couple of years ago, before, let me see, it would have been 2001, before he left. But he said, part of my neck is missing on the left side. And he said that I had a broken vertebra at some point in time, and I'm assuming that it happened at the same time that I got this osteoma, where my skull was cracked. And if you feel on my neck, on the left side, it doesn't quite feel like it's all there. And then the right side is a lot stronger. And so I'm going through a shift myself right now. They talk about the earth changes. Well, my body's shifting, and I'm not so sure that they're not connected based on spirituality that I know of.
And so that basically you got inspired to get in this from your own personal health.
True. My grandfather saved me. If it wasn't for him, I'd probably be multiple sclerosis. I mean, I'd have multiple sclerosis. I'd have chronic pain. I don't hurt at all. I got kicked by a bull when I was, well, let me see here, about 7 years ago. I got kicked solid across the hip.
Hold on there.
I've been pushed into a wall. I've been bludgeoned by the end of a hoe.
Well, hold on. We're going to go to a break, and we'll go. You got quite a litany lister. I want to make sure we go through that.
Yeah.
And so we'll be back after the break. Actually, after the top of the hour, we'll be back. We're going to go break for this week's Free Energy, and we'll be talking with Tammy Joy Kennedy.
This week in Free Energy.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
This week in Free Energy, April 17th, 2005, exploring and reporting on energy systems that tap into inexhaustible, ubiquitous, and clean sources of energy generation, such as solar, wind, tide, and geothermal, but also exploring those non-conventional avenues such as zero-point energy, radiant energy, coal fusion, and magnet motors. With us today for our report is Sterling Allen. Sterling, what do you have for us this week in Free Energy?
Hi, James. Again, let's turn the mic back to you. You've had more results on the acetone additive to the fuel in a semi-truck. Is that correct?
Yes. As I put more and more miles on it, I do see a consistent increase. It went from 6.1 to at least 6.6, but I've also seen it get a little bit more. So I know a lot of it's depending upon the loads and so on, but what will be very good is my partner, for the last 2 weeks, has been driving the same truck, same route, same motor, same fuel place, same everything. And he's going to start this week using acetone. So I'm when we get his results, that'll be about as scientific as you can get outside a lab.
This week, and I don't seem to be having luck with acetone. I'm actually an anomaly, which is ironic because I'm the one that's kind of coordinating this project. I did a power test and did not see an increase in power during acceleration under variety of concentrations of acetone. In other news, light-emitting diodes may become the bulb of choice not too long from now. They are now available in white and are starting to penetrate the lighting market. Recent breakthroughs bespeak making it so that LEDs will both be highly efficient and long-lasting, more so than incandescent or fluorescent light bulbs. Slashing your energy usage while not reducing light output is a boon for alternative energy. The customer's appetite will make it that much easier to come up with distributed energy solutions. Distributed energy is generated from electricity on-site at a home or a business. Speaking of distributed energy, there is a trend now for large complexes to generate electricity on-site.
Oh, yeah?
It's actually less expensive than paying the local grid because you eliminate the losses from transmission. You have that advantage, and you can use the heat from generation for the building heating needs. They call this cogeneration. I'm subscribed to a magazine called Distributed Energy, and you would be amazed at how well advanced this field is and growing.
Excellent.
In other news, Global Telecommunication Corp debuted their SansWire Stratolite this last week. over 300 people, including members of the media, personnel from the U.S. Department of Defense, and international commercial interests, were on hand, stationed in the stratosphere well above the jet stream, powered by film solar photovoltaic units. The device will make wireless communications available anywhere in the U.S., including on airline flights. One Stratolite will have a payload capacity of several thousand pounds and clear line of sight to an area roughly the size of Texas. We did a report on this yesterday, and Slashdot picked it up just a few minutes ago. We've already had 4,000 hits from them. They're quite a place to get listed. This is the second thing we've ever had listed there. Alternate Energy Corp's proprietary metallurgy technology permits small-scale units to generate hydrogen from an aqueous solution through a green system at a price competitive with current fossil fuel kilowatt-hour cost of energy.
That's very important.
Yep. Neater Wave Propulsion that we talked about last week has a video that we've posted on our site for you to take a look at that little toy prototype. You see it advancing through the water with each little wave while the control stays put. This concludes This Week in Free Energy.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
This Week in Free Energy is brought to you by the PES Network on the web at pureenergysystems.com. Join them online for daily updates at freeenergynews.com.
Hello, how can I confuse the hell out of you with complex rate offers and rip you off for some more money?
Huh? I was calling to see how I could save money.
Get real. This is a corporation whose sole purpose is to make money on you, not save money for you.
Some phone companies bury their profits in complex savings plans. Others charge you flat rates for unlimited calls and then bank on you using less minutes, which ends up increasing your real price per minute cost. And if you use more minutes than they deem customary, you may be moved up to a higher rate. The solution is Invincible Phone Cards. From our website, you simply enter where you're calling from and where you're calling to. In seconds, there's a comprehensive, easy-to-read comparative chart empowering you to choose your real savings. You pay what you see, and you see what you save. In minutes after payments, you get your toll-free access and PIN numbers in your email. www.invphone.com. Invincible Phone Savings with Invincible Phone Cards. invphone.com.
I'm not angry anymore, and I'm not really sad. Still, I have this puzzle in my head. Well, it's a crazy time to breathe. It's a crazy time to feel. Still, I'll just sit here and receive. While the simple voices speaks to me in the darkest of the day, this little voice seems to say, well, you're all right, my dear, and you're all right, my friend.
Contact James live on the air several different ways. You can call by phone, toll-free in the United States and Canada at 888-863-2722. If you have internet access, point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com. And check the left of the screen for the How to Participate text and click. You can then choose direct chat with James or join the official IBC group chat room. You can send email to James at F2F at Innersights.com. That's F2F at Innersites.com. There is a video chat room to see James in action as well as other F2F listeners. www.ivisit.com has the free software to download and access the Feet to Fire video chat room. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Yancic.
Annie Mac. That's A. McWilliams. AMcWilliams.com is the website. We're going to have her on in a couple weeks. There's a lot of interest that's been about some of her stuff on the show, and I figured I'd have her on for a little segment, and we could talk over some of the inspiration she has behind her her songs. So, all right, let's go back live to Tammy Joy Kennedy. Welcome back to Feed the Fire.
Hi.
And we left off talking about basically, you know, your inspiration of to get into this field has been basically you were almost killed.
I was almost killed more than once. Yes.
And so you went into this field, I guess, to figure out why you're alive and how you can be healed, and that's where your grandfather came in.
Well, my grandfather, of course, was the originator and founder of it, and so because he benefited me so much, and he tried for so very many years to try to spread this in the world, and the fact that it was being suppressed as it was, I felt obligated to pick up the torch. I had to. It was going to die with him if I didn't.
Can you say how this technique is done? I mean, is there a way you can explain it to non-professionals, so to speak?
Well, I wish I could. Unfortunately, it takes a matter of visual, you know, aids. I can say that my husband, my daughter, my daughter's friend, my mother have all put my hip in place just by me describing to them how to do it. But, of course, it helps to put their hands where they need to be and, you know, all that. So no, not really from a distance, but if there was, say, a webcam or, you know, some other up-to-date technology, maybe through, you know, over the airwaves or internet waves, but I can't say for sure, and I can't be held accountable because I've never tried it that way. So whoever might try it, of course, takes the responsibility on themselves. But it's pretty easy.
But you can show it in person. So if somebody wanted to come to you to learn how to do it, a doctor, for example, heard the show or any other speeches you had or your book or what have you, and they said, well, gee, I want to know. You can show them.
Oh, yes. Legally under the law, at least as it stands right now, of course, with the Attorney General coming after me again, I don't know where they're headed this time. But as it stands right now, legally, I have the ability to teach it. I've been told, though, that kind of flirting with disaster slightly because I'm actually encouraging somebody to break the law, strange enough. And yet, you know, I haven't hurt anybody. It's all politics. In fact, the very first doctor I ever worked on was the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, future president for Oklahoma, when he was being groomed for the vice presidency. That's how I stepped in. But they all wanted to have the glory, I guess you could say, and nobody was prepared to cite my grandfather. And I might be a little bit paranoid potentially, but all I know is what I've seen, and they know me. You know, I could work miracles by saying I'm Creighton's granddaughter and I know the work. They all wanted it. But when it comes time to actually put it out for the people, I don't know. That's not going to happen.
Now, do you, you mentioned that you have a whole list of things that happened to you and you survived. Is it solely because of your grandfather's work, or do you think there's some genes or genetic healing properties that you may have in your line?
Well, you mentioned that before, and I had never really considered it before, but I suppose that it is possible. All I know is my grandfather said repeatedly that it is amazing what the body can come back from. He couldn't believe some of the things he was seeing as well, and it wasn't just to do with our family. I mean, he put his hands on a lot of people. So I personally feel like maybe, okay, luck was with me, maybe, if you want to call it that. Maybe I have an innate quality that God has gifted me. But my grandfather took care of me regularly whenever I would see him, and I'd see him like once a year. And all I can tell you is that in that time period when I'm supposed to have had my neck broken, shortly after that, when we did see Grandpa, Mom tells me, Grandpa said, what happened to her? What happened to her? He just couldn't believe what he was seeing in my neck. He never went into detail as to what it was. He just, you know, was very adamant that I had been hurt severely. And that's all my mother can recall now is that, you know, she remembers him at a moment in time thinking, oh, my God, you know.
So maybe it's not genetic at all. It's just that you had the benefit of having your grandfather's knowledge be administered to you on a regular basis, which allows you to heal from more traumatic situations.
True. Because had it not been for him, then I would have been in a degenerative state, which, of course, is what most Americans seem to be in. And because I didn't degenerate and instead healed, then, you know, now I'm able to adapt, you know, in the shift of my spine as my neck grows straight, I do believe, because now I can feel my neck on my left side after I hadn't been able to feel it in probably 15 years. So there's a change taking place, and I'm able to adapt to it, and I'm growing straight.
Well, that's good.
Yes, very. Most people would like to be able to have that opportunity, and the state is standing in the way.
Well, yes, there's that state. Now, I understand that some people in the state may be interested in people's health and not having quacks or charlatans or people who are incompetent doing it. But there's a fine line between protecting and standing in the way. And I just don't trust the government just because they're the government to be able to do that. I don't know.
True. And that is my exact thought as well. So because of that, I have made the effort to present myself to the state saying, you know what, this is different. Let me show you how. Let me explain to you for the benefit of the public to try to go to somebody, anybody who has a position of authority who can do that. Frankly, I haven't found that person yet. And I'm not sure, I mean, if anybody has any suggestions for me, I'm more than pleased to listen, because give me a direction, I will take that path. But
well,
I'm figuring somebody in power has got to be able to test it, and hence a study. You see so many times on the commercials these days, they're wanting to have this study or that study for this drug. Well, people die sometimes in those studies, and it seems to be okay with the mainstream system. But they won't let me have that study, and yet I'm presenting myself for that cause.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's where the problem I'm having now. That's why I mentioned at the top, I actually wrote my senator about my fear of the government getting involved in regulating herbs, because what if a drug company wanted to, you know, get rid of an herb so they can use their copyrighted version and they could trump up stuff about it or what have you. Heck, I mean, the medicine that's out there is bad enough. That's approved. You know, I mean, I like when you take a headache medicine, and one of the side effects could be headaches.
Yeah. That's the thing, too, about this work. There's no side effects. I mean, if it's done right, there is absolutely no side effects whatsoever. And I have actually made an error. In fact, you asked me before what dangers there were. I actually had a stroke case who had had a stroke previous to my helping him. And I did it wrong, and I had this on the camera, and I had a chance to look back at it, and I guess you could say I was lucky that moment. Anyway, point being is that I didn't leave it wrong. I checked it right away. And my grandfather said that, because I didn't want to hurt anybody, and I questioned him about that. He said, well, that's the reason why you always check. He said, you don't just slam and assume that it's right. He said, you always check. And he said, if you get it right, you know, in the end, there's no side effects.
So it's possible, you mentioned about Christopher Reeve, and that's a rather fascinating thing you brought up. It's possible somebody who is paralyzed is actually simply having that nerve pinched, and if you straighten them out a certain way, they would then be able to be healed?
True. Because if the brain isn't aware of the body's, you know, paralysis, I guess you could say, and okay, we all can see it, but maybe the brain doesn't actually know. You know, so because it doesn't know, it can't say, hey, you know, you need to do this or compensate for that or move this way. And there's no proper nerve signal, no proper communication between the brain and the body. And when that breaks down, you have vegetables, you know, people in vegetative states, you have degeneration, you have chronic pain, you have, you know, strokes sometimes, because, you know, the body will deteriorate.
No, if I say, for example, I had a sister or brother or spouse or somebody who was paralyzed, I could not come to you on my free will and sign waivers or whatever, and you still couldn't be allowed to practice this on the paralyzed individual, because you need to have a doctor present or something, right?
Well, here's the tongue-in-cheek thing, I guess you could say. Legally, no. But in Oklahoma, I think it's something such as so simple as tattoos go on here, but it's not. Tattooing is illegal in Oklahoma, and yet it happens all the time. So there's a tongue-in-cheek thing, whether or not it stands or not. If I'm going to, you know, abide by the law of the land, then I have to stringently demand that the patient, you know, is put upon to go find a doctor who's willing to lay down his ego long enough to allow for this experiment, I guess you could say, take place in his office or hospital, for that matter. So that's kind of a personal call, I guess you could say. And I'd like to see it done right, and I'd like to get my recognition, but I'll say that the people that I know closely don't hurt right now.
And it has to do with this adjustment of the head on the neck rather than the neck under the head.
True.
I mean,
it's a sacroiliac joint.
I'm not taking away from the ability to do this, but it seems to be a very simple solution that could solve a lot of trouble.
Oh yes.
Why doesn't the chiropractic community check this out, you know, quietly, and they go, yeah, this works pretty good. Well, hey, Joe, how about you start doing this, and Fred, you start doing this, and Jane, you start doing this, and we just won't say anything, and we'll just start implementing it.
Well, I'm thinking that maybe that's what they're trying to do without me. But then you have a thief, you know, in the midst. And all I can say is that the treatment of the lateral-occipital joint is very, it has to be very specific. And my husband pointed out a little bit ago, and it's on the proofs page, let me look at this real quick. It's about halfway down. I talk about the different directions that the head subluxates or partial dislocates. You have to figure out which way it's gone, and then you have to move it from where it's setting, you know, when it's out of place, to back to center. The chiropractic technique, they just go one way and then go the other way. Well, it's not specific. It is very dangerous, and they have actually killed people. And so the last thing I want to see is for somebody who has not been credentialed, who, you know, makes a claim to a Creighton method, who actually never really learned it accurately, to maybe go and kill somebody because they didn't learn it right. So that's my concern. I want to make sure they learn it right, because I don't want to be, I mean, I guess you could say I can't inevitably be held accountable, but I don't want people to get hurt. I'm just that humanitarian, you know. I if it's possible to save them, save them. You know, that's just the way I am.
Well, that might be the case where you might end up, you and your grandfather might not end up getting the kudos that they may deserve, but his discovery will eventually get out into public and help people, which, you know, would be the greater good of the whole thing. And perhaps
I want.
Yeah.
But I want them to know it accurately and truthfully. I don't want them to make the effort to so-called learn it by osmosis. They tell me that you can't learn it by osmosis. They're not giving me a chance to work. Making claim that this is chiropractic, it's not chiropractic, but I want them to know it. I mean, what is the harm in having somebody such as a doctor who has the means, the financial resources to pay, you know, the dues to be sanctioned by the founder's lineage? You know, that's honestly sad to think that they would be that kind of caliber of person where they wouldn't actually go to the source. And that's just my argument, you know. If it was me, I'd prefer to have somebody who came from the source.
I understand. It's just, well, I mean, in this world we're in, and you mentioned the word ego a few times, and a lot of times that doesn't happen. One of my favorite classical artists is Petrov Mussorgsky, who died a pauper failure, and yet he's considered one of the grand masters now.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that maybe me. I don't know.
Well, I've opened the phone lines. If anybody has any questions along the way here, we got a couple of segments left. It's 888-863-2722. We also have the chat systems running for those who are around internet, are listening around internet. And, you know, we'll continue. Now, do you have, some kind of CD-ROM book information? I think I remember talking to you about that.
Yeah, I'm working on a CD-ROM. It's essentially the website, and it'll be slightly different, but it's the website and plus, I guess you could say, that I'm currently working on CD-ROM right now. It's not complete yet, but I don't think it'd take that long if I actually had some people who were wanting it. So if I had some orders for it, then, you know, I could probably produce it within 6 weeks.
Okay, so they should get in touch with you at your website, which, why don't you say that website again?
NSIRtech.com is the website, and my email address is Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, it's my biblical name, at NSIRtech.com.
Now, if what if someone came approached you and said, "Why don't we try and standardize this technique and teach it like a school or something?" I would imagine you would be interested in that.
I'd say, "Let's do it. Let's do it." And what took you so long?
Well, you know, I mean, there's probably been discoveries that have been discovered and lost for centuries and then discovered again. So.
Yeah.
But the beauty of radio and of websites, and it makes this information more readily available. And you never know. I'm a big fan of synchronicity. The fact that, you know, we hooked up here on the radio is something, and you never know who's out there, and you just never know what's going to happen.
Oh, I'm praying for that this evening myself.
Now, did you, have you had run-ins with doctors and so forth you've had it on a regular basis? I mean, is this become a kind of an every day or every month situation with you?
Well, and I'm going to brief this real quick. Like, my daughter died in the hospital system a year ago, and a year and a half ago. And 6 months after that, that's when I was attacked by the Attorney General and the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. So when the judge found in the way that he did, I guess you could say I basically appealed to the humanities of those powers to give me time to grieve, and so I've kind of kept my head down for the last year. But everything's fixing to pick up again, and, on a regular basis, when I was in their face, I was in their face, you know, and they didn't like it.
So, my gosh, your daughter died in their hands, and they're coming down on you.
Yeah, she was in a hospital, and this is the real sad thing, is that 2 to 3 weeks before she was in a fatal car accident, because she really and truly should have died on the impact. But 2 weeks before that, I was actually offered a position in a local hospital. Of course, it was just the woman, and she was a medical staff coordinator. It was just in the air, and I had been broadcast on the Pegasus channel, and apparently the doctors had been watching me. And she seemed taken, and she wanted to bring me on staff at the hospital in my capacity. I said, "Do you have any idea what you're saying?" I said, "I don't have a license." She said, "I don't care. I think we need you here," is what I was told. And so she went up the ladder to find out how to get me into the hospital, and that's when I found out any doctor could put his wing over me, and you know what? The public has access. And anyway, of course, you know how the hospital system is. So when it came down to the one case, and you talk about synchronicity, I personally think God wanted to know if they were serious. God sent us into the hospital to test their, you know, whether or not they were true or not. And it came down to simplistic medical things that they needed. So very basic. And I really can't go into the whole lot because of, you know, pending litigation.
No, but, yes, obviously.
They refused to work with me, and she fell through the cracks and died. And they were telling me, you know, from the impact, she would either or be changed. She wouldn't be the same person. She would be paralyzed. She'd be vegetative. Well, she was none of that. She was exactly who she was previous. I recognized my daughter. Her personality was true. She could feel her whole body. She could move her whole body. You know, I looked in the doctor's eyes. They couldn't believe that she was alive, let alone that she had survived, you know, basically threatening to bounce off the wrecking ball, run off a door, and go on with her life, and impinged. And so because of that, things have kind of been on a hold, I guess you could say, holding pattern for about a year.
But, okay, well, let's hold for a moment here. We're going to go for a break, and we'll come back with another segment. And then you can, I understand about litigation, but you could, you know, say whatever you'd like about it. And we'll be taking questions, 888-863-2722. And we're talking with Tammy Joy Kennedy about a revolutionary adjustment of the neck could solve most problems. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
All right, we're back live on Feet to Fire. We have with us our guest is Tammy Joy Kennedy. Welcome back, Tammy.
Hi. Just to make a quick correction here, and it's just my grandfather speaking now, basically. Again, the Hopi prophecy, everything seems very similar. You mentioned before about an adjustment of the neck. It's not an adjustment of the neck. It's an adjustment of the head. Again, I just need to, you know.
No, I'm glad you said that because somebody brought this up in the chat room, and I actually quoted just what you said, that it's just the head, not the neck, and I didn't even realize that I said just the neck.
Yeah, and I figured that was the case. That's how much the populace has been trained to think that that's what's needing to be done. It's not what's needing to be done. The, you know, concept needs to shift. Culture needs to shift and realize it's the head on top that's so very important. And, of course, I've focused on the atlanto-occipital joint, but the sacroiliac joint is equally as important. And then, of course, there's a few, you know, extremity problems, such as the feet and the fibula, and I've had all of those problems. So there's more than just these two, but these are the cornerstones. So.
And when I, sometimes when I, my neck gets stiff, that's how I describe it, but I can feel it tight up, going up into underneath my skull. That's how it feels like.
Right, you have an atlanto-occipital subluxation is what that is.
And what I end up doing is I rock my head back and forth, and I kind of loosen up a little bit, and then what I'll do is I'll push it to the, we'll say the left, down, and turn. And if I do that a certain way, I do get a crack, and it's very nice.
Okay. Now, I want to point out, too, that, of course, the chiropractors are going with for what's called a cavitation. I'm finding this out in the court process by hearing their take on the whole deal, because I never went to chiropractic school. You know, I don't really know absolutely what it is they're after, but they're wanting that cavitation, that pop, and we don't necessarily go for that. We want a specific placement of the head to center. Sometimes you get the cavitation, sometimes you don't. But it's best, honestly, if you don't get it. So we're not just yanking and pulling to get some pops and snaps. We're wanting to specifically place it to center and then verify that if that's what's happened.
Now, once you place it in center, is this something that will happen again and again and again, or after putting it in center and perhaps some exercise to build up muscle? I mean, it could stay there.
Right. It depends. Sometimes the joint actually changes shape. I have the human bones, and there are two specimens, and they've actually, and this is the top four of the top four vertebrae, spinal column, and the skull. And there has been some change in those joints. So if that's the case, then of course you have to have some monitoring to make sure that it is to center. And in that time, as long as it stays in center, then you heal and you heal properly. So if you've just hurt yourself, you know, just got slapped by your significant other or whoever, you know, fallen down, whatever, and it's a new injury, you know, you can place it one time and you go on with your life. You know, you relax the muscles and it's okay. But if it's a chronic case of 20, 30, 40 years, then sometimes it takes every bit of that to get you out of the problem. I was 10 years old when I was first hurt, and I was, I think, 23 when I started taking Grandpa very seriously, and I am now 40 years old, and I'm still healing. So my grandfather said sometimes if you have a chronic condition, as long as it takes to get you into that degeneration breakdown, it takes you that long to get you out. That's the reason why people need to have assessments to know that it's in place and they heal. I don't get colds. You know, you can put, it seems like just about anything on me, you know, bacteria or virus-wise, and I seem to just bounce back as if nothing ever took, you know, ever came against me.
Oh, really?
And I can't explain the mechanism in which that works. I just know that the body has the ability to tell the brain, and the brain says, okay, this is what you got to do, and the answer is all inside your own self. Christ said, you know, the kingdom of heaven's inside you and around you. Well, that's what I've hooked into.
Hmm. Well, I mean, that the fact that you can have viruses and have not get taken down by it, that's interesting. I mean, there could be several reasons. I mean, I did mention the biogenetic one, but perhaps if your communication system is in great shape, It can identify that virus and create antiviral mechanisms to attack it quickly.
Right. The quicker the brain knows that there's an invader, and the faster that brain can get a, you know, cavalry or, you know, force in place to fight it, that's, you know, going to affect your outcome. You know, I mean, I can feel a cold coming on if I get I drink more vitamins, you know, I get more orange juice. If my brain wasn't aware that I wasn't feeling so well, then, you know, I wouldn't know to drink more orange juice. You see what I'm saying?
Right. And that, actually, you got a point. That would explain why people have cravings, because it's what they need. And the brain can convey to your consciousness, well, I need orange juice, and then really what you need is the vitamin C or perhaps a little bit of the sugar, natural sugar for energy or whatever.
Right, and cravings, you pay attention to those. You know?
So, using that same thing, it'd be very important to stay away from toxicities, chemicals, and legal medication, for that matter.
Legal or illegal?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Either one. But legal medication, yes. It's poison. I mean, honestly and truthfully, they're dealing with poison. And that's the reason why you have to have the education that you do and, you know, close contact communication going on between the subject, because sometimes the body doesn't respond as well, you know, and the side effect is taken over.
I know for myself that if I start to get worn down, there are certain steps that happen that warn me. If I, you know, get a good night's sleep and drink a lot of water, you know, and get a little bit more sleep than normal and rest, I can just about knock out anything within a day and a half. Like the next day, I already feel better. And then if I kind of take it easy for a while the next day, I'm done. And I've learned that. And there's no medicine involved. It's just working with your system. But if you don't listen to it.
Right. You have to listen. My grandfather, he, I have him on tape talking about, you know, rest is very important. Nutrition is very important. All these things are part of it. I mean, and, you know, I mean, that's just common sense, you know. The thing that my grandfather did that the rest of them doesn't have yet, from what I can see, is just the fact that he figured out how to deal with the atlanto-occipital and sacroiliac joint correctly. So everything that's out there already is, you know, all well and good as far as the natural healing arts, but he has the epitome of them all, and he put that with the rest of it. And I'm telling you sincerely, my grandfather himself, he walked away from a compressed fracture of a L5. My daughter was in that accident. You know, she survived. I survived a broken neck. I can't explain to you except for to say that, you know, maybe as you said, there's something there, but the work has been with us, you know, for 50 years now.
And, you know, it does take time for the wheels to turn, and it's just unfortunate that there's a lot of other people out there who are quacks and trying to make a buck and so forth and so on that dirty the water for other people. So then when real true change comes, people have fears. I mean, I know there are some people out there who we've had this in the chat room, who have taken Paxil, for example, and were leery of someone taking Kava-Kava. And they're afraid that you might have get injured from it. And I'm kind of laughing, going, Paxil is terrible stuff, and Kava-Kava is very natural. And
right.
Yet the fear is on the natural remedy rather than the artificial one, which has known proven problems.
Right. And that I'm dealing with that just in the populace. Without the doctors misdirecting and the attorney general jumping in where he has no business, honestly, the public themselves are very afraid of this because change is, you know, the unknown. Well, everybody's scared of what's not known. So I'm between a rock and a hard place. But I continue to talk to people, and after so long, you know, they're thinking, you know, that makes sense, you know, or at least she can tell me the true architectural design of the, you know, that joint she's dealing with, and the textbooks are wrong, you know, and I can see that for myself. Well, you know what? I hurt so bad. I don't care if it kills me, and I've had people tell me that, too. And I'll do the job right. And they're like, oh, my God, you know, break down in tears and you fix it. You fix it. I've seen these things, you know.
Dale, you know, it would be, well, it'd be nice if you if you had video, it wouldn't matter because they could just say you're lying. I guess you can't win. It comes tough. You know,
well, that was part of my program. I really was hesitant about cutting from the scene. I gave them real time because I wanted them to see the miracles, you know. I mean, 2 days before my daughter was in the collision, she'd had a headache. And I set her down in front of the camera, and I had a friend of hers, and I set her down in front of the camera, and I found a subluxated innominate and a subluxated occiput in both cases. I fixed them both. I mean, within 5 minutes less, you know, both headaches absolutely and completely vanished, to not return.
Well, I mean, that's got to be impressive to the people you're working with.
Yeah, they're... Yeah, I mean, I ran up an let me see here. I talked to a friend of a gentleman I'd worked on not too long ago, and was told, simply put, and it was the appreciation was in his voice, and I was told that I had been called an artist. And it's like, yeah, you know, word of mouth will travel, you know, the population will catch on, and you just don't know how close I've been to catching that grass fire, you know, ablaze. And every time I get so close, then, you know, the state will step up or the, you know, doctors will have something to say or, you know, there'll be more politics.
Yeah, in our chat room, Eagle Spirit is in there, and she's in Australia. And she just said in Australia they have banned Kava Kava. You can't buy it there. I mean, that's outrageous. It's outrageous.
Yes.
The one study that's being touted has already been exposed to be flawed in that they took alcoholics and gave them Kava and noted that that group had a higher chance of liver problems with the Kava than without the Kava, but all of them were alcoholics, chronic alcoholics. Now, I mean, come on.
That would be, well, that wouldn't be a fair study, I guess you could say, or at least you have awareness that, you know, this particular group, you don't do that, but that, you know, if the others aren't affected by it, then it's ludicrous to assume that it
would. Yeah, the theory, I talk with a Kava grower, and, you know, hopefully we can have him on here, is that what he has gotten is he's even had PayPal refuse to allow him to sell it. And the theory is that Kava is so effective that it could rule, it would just devastate most antidepressants and anti-anxiety drugs if people actually used it on a regular basis. It
right.
would devastate that whole drug market, so they have to get rid of it.
Right. And hence, you look for those fires. You know, such as myself, you know, and others like the Kava, et cetera. Those are the ones that are meeting with the strongest resistance are the ones that are really needed so much by the population. And don't think that those people that are trying to keep it out don't know what it is. They know exactly what it is. And they have a vested interest in the powers that be already, the system that's in place already. That matrix, you know. And I like that movie.
Yeah,
they'll fight to defend it.
That movie to me, is almost like a modern Bible as far as getting a spiritual message out that we have to unplug from this system that's been created that is it is actually keeping us away from spirituality and God. But hold on, I got to go to a break. I can go on for an hour like that, but we'll come back. We'll come back and finish talking with Tammy Joy Kennedy about her. Repositioning the head, solving so many of the life's problems. We'll be right back. Pizza Fire on the IBC Radio Network.
You're listening to
The Black Knight
on the IBC Radio Network. All right, we're back with the final segment with Tammy Joy Kennedy. Welcome back, Tammy.
Hi.
Perhaps one more time before the show ends, if you can give contact information, how people might get a hold of you, and hopefully you may get some doctors or nephropaths or somebody or other who would like to adopt you and learn your ways and bring this incredible adjustment to the world.
I hope so. My website, again, is nsirtech, and it's tech.com. I guess I can give you my home phone number, and that would be fine. 580-358-0074. I'd like to say that any philanthropists whatsoever, be it large or small, are very welcomed at this point in time. I have, in this legal battle that I'm, you know, having to fight with the state in order to benefit the public, so if anybody wants to send any donations, my address is 12708 East Roop, it's spelled R-U-P-E, Fairmont, F-A-I-R-M-O-N-T, Oklahoma, 73736, and that would be very welcome. Any contact whatsoever, especially anyone who, of course, could help us at this point in time not go out. The flame is flickering, I guess you could say.
Okay, well, I hope that, though, that, you know, works out for you. I think it should be looked into. I mean, even if you were completely false, I would want someone to check it out. You know, because, see, I'm not into judging the person up front and deciding whether or not we should check it out. I say, let's check it out.
that's been my plea from the beginning. Look at this. Please, look at this.
And I don't understand what has happened is, and this is tremendously in the main media, where people will decide whether that person is credible to listen to before listening to him. And the criteria they use has to be like, you know, it's like a litmus test. Do you think there might be extraterrestrial life? Well, if you go yes, well then, oh, you're a nut, and everything you say is out the door, or whatever.
Right. And you don't fit their mold that they're wanting, then of course there's nothing you can say that's true. And that is so far from the truth, it's not even funny. And they have, for some reason, lost the concept that they can see the truth for themselves, and they're expecting somebody to tell them what's true. But truth is truth. You can see it.
Yeah, the way I kind of look at it with this show is that truth to me is self-evident. It doesn't need to be legislated or have a consensus. I mean, truth is truth. It is there to be found, and what our job is to do is to go out looking for it and not be biased under which rock we can look for it, because you never know. I mean, you just never know where you're going to find it. I mean, look at some of the discoveries we've had in science has been accidental. They were doing something else, and then lo and behold, this happens. Now, if they were going, well, no, I'm sorry, we're not looking in that area, we're looking in this area, that whole discovery would be lost.
Right, and that's the whole point. Everybody's looking at the fields that are already there, and I don't know how many times I've heard, well, if you can't be true, because if it was true, they'd be doing it. Well, as you pointed out, it's not lucrative for them, and they'd have to change their ways. And, you know, I guess you could say that Wall Street correction could be very expensive, and so you just want to keep the path as it is. That doesn't cause people like me to cease to exist, though. So truth is still out there. It's just a matter of, you know, whoever needs us to be able to find us and us being able to reach them.
You know, it's like they mentioned back in Nazi Germany is that nobody said anything until it affected them a certain amount. You know, it was okay if the Jews were taken, but then, wait a minute, they're taking my friend so-and-so, you know.
Right.
And that's when when it comes to this kind of thing, it's like, if it doesn't interest us, a lot of times we don't pay attention until it does. Well, it's about time we start paying attention. Otherwise, we're going to lose bit by bit by bit. So when it does come to something we're, our selfish interest is in, there'd be nobody left to fight for us. So we all kind of band together here for truth and finding out what's right.
I agree.
That's my little soapbox for today.
Hey, I liked it.
Anyway, thank you for being with us today and sharing your story. And I wish you well, and keep in touch and let me know if anything pops up.
Okay, I will.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay.
Okay.
Oops, there we go, Tammy Joy Kennedy. All right, Feet to Fire and the IBC Radio Network. Another week, we'll be back. We're going to talk about... Next week, Michael Sharp is coming forward to talk about the use of hallucinogens in spiritual practice. So that's going to be interesting. We'll be back live.
The ancient one of my own.